This is WNCW's More to the Story. I'm your host, Paul Foster. Returning to the program is the political reporter with WFAE Public Radio, our friends in Charlotte, Steve Harrison. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Let me first ask you about the protests that have been going on in honor of George Floyd and the stand against aggressive policing that have made the Queen City a hot spot for these protests. The events have been described as both good and bad, correct, Steve?
Yeah, so initially, I mean, the protests, of course, in Charlotte started a week ago Friday. The protests on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, there was some violence. There was confrontation with police. Police say things were thrown at them, firecrackers, frozen bottles of water, bricks, etc. The police responded with tear gas, pepper balls, flashbangs. So there was a lot of confrontation, not a tremendous amount of property damage, but there was some. There was windows broken. There were some stores looted, not as much as from 4 years ago when there was unrest in Charlotte over another police shooting. And then on Tuesday night, really the most controversial moment here, there's a video in which protesters are in a narrow street and they've been gassed on one side and they kind of retreat and there's police behind them with gas. And so that is under investigation. They allege that the protesters allege the police deliberately trapped them and gassed them on both sides. That's being investigated by the State Bureau of Investigation.
And tell us from that, what's been the opinion, first of all, remarks that came from Police Chief Kerr Putney, and then tell us a little bit about City Council's thoughts, including that of Mayor Vi Lyles.
So the chief, he said, look, we have had good nights, almost all good nights, except this one night. And he said that if that indeed happened, there will be consequences. They were kind of deliberately trapped and gassed. There will be consequences. He said that he's the only one who kind of has the authority to deploy tear gas. And he says the buck stops with him. He is saying that overall his department did very well. The city council, it has been interesting. There is probably the biggest division between the elected officials and Chief Putney in his 5 years as leading the department in Charlotte. A lot of council members are really upset by that video from Tuesday night.
And to go along with what we're discussing right now, police officials there in Charlotte can no longer buy chemical agents like tear gas. The move came Monday after a city council vote in Charlotte removed money from the city's budget for such equipment. That vote was 9-2. Another thing that happens during these protests that is brought up quite often is when a group or even just a single individual actually comes from out of town and they say tries to stir up the crowd. I, for instance, stayed up late one night and saw one of the Charlotte television stations live coverage of a guy that was doing his best to bust out one of the windows of a Bank of America building. Have you heard much about this being a regular occurrence?
Well, I mean, we've done some stories at the station looking at the arrest records, and the vast majority are from Charlotte. There are people from out of town, but I don't think there's a sense that this is being orchestrated by non-Charlottians. I mean, clearly there's people who've come from outlying areas to protest. It is a hub. It is a big city. It's a place to have your voice heard. But I don't think there's been a sense that this is being orchestrated. And 4 years ago, the police union kind of said the same thing during the Keith Scott protest, that this was, the violence was being driven from out-of-towners. And again, in that situation, most of the people who arrested were from Charlotte.
You're listening to Steve Harrison, our guest on More to the Story from WNCW. Steve Harrison, of course, a part of WFAE in Charlotte. Steve, we talked about this last time we got together, but how have things gone on in the weeks since we last talked concerning the Republican National Convention? What's the latest?
Well, there's always just so much news. It's so hard to keep up. I think the latest is that the Republican National Committee has said that President Trump will not come to Charlotte to give his acceptance speech. And he's upset because Governor Roy Cooper has said he will not allow a packed arena inside the Spectrum Center. The president wants essentially a full house. He wants no social distancing, no masks. And so Cooper has not given him that assurance. And so the GOP said Trump's going to go elsewhere. We may still hold the business part of the convention in Charlotte. We don't know, though, what that will be, how big that will be, how many people, because remember, right now in North Carolina, the limit on gatherings indoors is 10 people. Unless that changes, you can't even have any kind of a convention here. The city, they're meeting to try and figure out what to do, and this is going to keep changing.
I believe I saw the headline of one story you helped put together talking about Charlotte had spent, what, some $14 million to prepare for the convention?
That's right. So they have the city's kind of responsibility is this security aspect, to coordinate the security for the event. And they have been given a contract to be reimbursed up to $50 million in security from the Department of Justice. So the city will probably spend maybe $20, $25 million on equipment, things like bikes, batons, shields, tear gas, cameras, all this kind of stuff. The rest of the money is going to go to pay the salaries of police from out of town and for overtime to help secure this. The way it works is, and the way it worked in Charlotte 8 years ago, you submit your receipts and you get paid back. I do think it is worth mentioning in this situation that if there is no convention, does the city get paid back? They say, yes, we have a contract, but there is a history. President Trump is a businessman, some dispute as to many people say he owes them money. Thing to watch moving forward.
And Steve, we still can't help but to think about those who run the motels and the restaurants. Those guys are still trying to get back on their feet and recoup lost money from so long due to the pandemic. And of course, then there's the bars, and still they're not open due to the current restrictions in North Carolina. What have you heard about that from the Queen City?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were counting on this event, especially hotel owners, because August is a really slow time anyway. So you have this dead period that's inside a dead period from the pandemic, and they were going to be able to fill up and charge high rates. And now they may not get anything.
Steve Harrison, we appreciate your insight from Charlotte, as always, a part of WFAE. Hope you have a good rest of the day.
Hey, you too, Paul. Take care.
Past episodes of More to the Story are available as a podcast on our website, wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster. You've been listening to More to the Story.